I'd like to invite you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Genesis and chapter 19, Genesis chapter 19. And while you're turning there, may I just quickly give an update about the work that God is doing there in England. Many dedicated Christians were thankful to be a part of that remnant that God has there in England and how He's blessed the work that He's called us to. And we're so thankful for other dedicated Christians that are there. And I know you know and pray for many of them in the mainland. And please keep that up because we need your prayer. But God has been so good to us. Hard to believe, about 8 years ago, my wife and I showed up in England with just a few suitcases. And the day we arrived, signed the contract, the lease to rent the place where the students would come. And in 8 days, we would have 13 people coming to live with us. We didn't have a piece of furniture, a sheet, a pillow, a piece of silverware, a bowl, a plate, anything. And the Lord miraculously provided all of that in 8 days, and the vehicle as well. We found a very old vehicle on eBay, but I didn't know anything about vehicles here. And so I didn't know anything about MOTs or tax discs or anything else, but we won it on eBay. And I didn't know it had 542,000 miles on it when we bought it, but the Lord enabled it. It was the miracle Mercedes, we called it, and it ran for another nearly 250,000 miles, and we hauled young people all over the UK with it. We didn't know it didn't have a handbrake when we bought it, so we had bricks, and we'd put bricks in front of the tires and behind the tires. Even out here in your car park here, we had it all set up where it wouldn't roll down the car park, and we're so thankful that God has blessed us. We began to pray for another vehicle, and so many godly people here in the UK have been so kind, and we were supposed to pray specifically, but we just began to pray for the Lord to give us a vehicle. And we didn't just ask for one, we just prayed for a vehicle, and the Lord's kept answering those prayers. And as of now, well over 20 vehicles have been donated to the ministries there in Brighton and Oxford and Beaches Road. Everything from mini buses to vans and vehicles for the people who come to work. And what a blessing it is to see what God is doing. And 8 years ago, we began to pray for a building so we could train more young people. We're at maximum capacity. This is as many young people as we can put in the place where we rent currently. And the Lord led us to what we believed this past March was the perfect setting. It ticked all the boxes, 5 acres with sport fields and a 10-bedroom house with outbuildings that could be turned into places like classrooms or accommodations for workers or other young people. And what an opportunity. And we looked at our bank account, and at that time we thought, well, we're really doing pretty well. We had £12 in our account to purchase a property. We thought, well, that's 12 more pounds than we had when we got here, so we're thankful for that. And we began to pray that if this was the Lord's will, He would provide. And in 5 weeks, God did something miraculous. This was a property that was valued at far more, but after the owner reduced it by nearly £500,000, it was at £1.1 million. And we thought, well, here we have £12. We're nearly there. And we're just trusting if this is what God has for us, it's impossible. It's absolutely impossible for us to get this. But if we pray and we believe this is the Lord's will, then He'll provide. And 5 weeks, that first day, I remember praying. And in the morning, someone rang me and talked to me. And someone who I'd never spoken to about the building said, I want to donate £10,000. And God had supplied their need and miraculously done something for them. And they wanted to share that. I was so thankful. That was amazing. And I thought, this is a wonderful thing. And just that same day, about lunchtime, just after the new meal, another man rang me. And I hadn't spoken to him at all about the building and didn't know what he knew about. And he said, my wife and I would like to donate £20,000 to that building. Before 5 o'clock that afternoon, a friend of mine that I'd grown up with, who's a farmer and works in the same state that I grew up in, he rang me and he said, I'd like to give $50,000, which turns out to be £30,000. I thought, what a day. And the morning was $10,000, the afternoon was $20,000, the evening was $30,000. I can't wait till tomorrow. What will happen then? God's been so good. And that day that the Lord used those gifts that were given to help and encourage other people, and people began to give in so many splendid ways that God spoke to them. And I'm so thankful. It wasn't something that I had prodded and poked and begged. It's God had worked in people's lives and spoken to them about it. We came down to the last day. And Alistair, who's here with us tonight, was visiting the McHackie family down in Bristol, and he just happened to stop by. He didn't know anything about the schedule or the building, and he said, well, we're just a few miles from it. Would you like to go see it? He didn't know it was the last day, and that was the day we're supposed to have all the money in. We were short £100,000, and we had no idea where it would come from. 5 o'clock, it needed to be in. So we went, and Alistair saw the property, and we were talking to the owner, and he said, "Do you have the money?" And we said, "Well, we're short about 100,000 pounds. And he said, "Well, you know, it's 5 o'clock was the deadline to have it." Well, Alistair could attest to this. I'm not just telling you stories. Just a few minutes, we prayed. We stopped and prayed, and we asked the Lord to provide the need, but we had no idea where it would come from. But we believed that if this was the Lord's will, He would provide it. Just a few minutes, literally just a few minutes before 5 o'clock, I got a phone call from someone, and they said, "How much are you lacking?" We said, "Oh, just about 100,000 pounds. Now, that may not seem like a lot of money to you, but that's a whole lot of money to us. And we thought, this is impossible. We can't see this happen. But we're trusting the Lord for it. And literally just a few minutes before that deadline, a man called back and he said, "There's a man who's anonymous who lives in America, and he has agreed, he's written a check, it's in the post, and you can tell them all the money's in." And I thought, what an amazing thing. Literally at the 11th hour and about the 55th minute, it all came in and God was so good. And so I believe very strongly that where God guides, He provides. And it's about not money and it's not about buildings, it's about the gospel. That's what that place will be for by God's grace and in His will, a place for the gospel to get out all around England and to train young people like you've seen tonight and people from England to go and start gospel preaching churches and win lost souls to the loving Savior. And so you please help us pray about that. We like to do lots of things. It needs lots of renovation, a kitchen to be done and dining room to be made and all kinds of great things. But it's a wonderful structure. We have some photographs I hope you'll be able to look at this evening if you'd like to see what God has done in providing this. And we trust what God will do in future days to make this a place where the gospel can be ascending place all around England and hopefully around the world. So you help us pray about that. I'm thrilled and I'm so grateful for your prayers and what God has used you to do to see that go forward. Well, if you have your place there in Genesis chapter 19, I'd like to draw your attention just quickly here to a few verses. The Bible tells us as we begin reading in verse 12, "And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." We'll stop our reading of the passage there, and I'd like to draw your attention to a text we find in verse 17 that I'd like you to think about. The heart of verse 17, this heavenly messenger was sent to this man who is in huge peril, about to be destroyed with his family, and the message from God was this: escape for thy life. And with God's help for a few moments this evening, I'd like to bring from God's word that text to your heart. Escape for thy life. There are people tonight in this room who are in great peril, who are in grave danger. Would you do something for me? That may seem a little bit strange, but I'd like you just to breathe in. Would you take a deep breath and inhale just for a moment? And as you do that, I want you to be reminded that that's just how far you are away from eternity. One breath, one beat of your heart, one intake of air is how far you are from standing before the God who made you and the God who is able to send you for an eternity separated from Him forever, or a God who is able, because of your trust in Christ, to bring you to be with Him for eternity. But there are people here tonight who have heard the message of the gospel perhaps hundreds of times and have never
truly escaped the wrath to come. And with God's help, I'd like to encourage you from this passage tonight to do that very thing that the heavenly messengers told this man and his family: escape for thy life. The first thing I'd like you to notice in this passage is why we must escape. There's a great reason. It's not just something that we might think about doing, but it's absolutely essential that those who are here tonight escape for their lives and go to the one and only who can save them and forgive them. And the reason is this, we find in verse 12. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides, son-in-law, and thy sons and thy daughters? Whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. Verse 13, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. The great reason you must escape is because the sure wrath of God is coming upon your sin. It is not a might or a maybe. It is a must, because there is a just God in heaven. There is a holy God who rules this universe, and He is not able to smile upon sin or to lightly look over sin. His justice demands that your sin be dealt with. And that sure judgment of sin is coming. As sure as I'm standing in front of you tonight, there is a sure day when you will answer for every sin of thought and word and deed. That's why it is so important to escape for your life. But verse 15 tells us the urgency of this matter. And when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. I want you to know that it's important to escape for your life because you do not have long to escape. Here these heavenly messengers hastened Lot and his wife and daughters because they weren't going to do anything about their peril. They didn't understand how urgent it was to escape. And there are many people perhaps here tonight who say, I know that I'll meet God someday. I understand that my life will not last forever, and I'm not going to live to be 300 or 400 years old. I understand there'll someday be an obituary in a newspaper, and there'll be a funeral with my name on the program, and I understand all those things, but I'm not dead yet. And I want you to understand the urgency that just a heartbeat, just a breath, that very fragile string of life can any moment be broken. And when that is broken, there are no second chances. There's no ability to say, I want life over again. The Bible tells us in very clear terms, today is the day of salvation. The reason we are to flee and escape for our lives is because the sure judgment of God is coming to sin, and sin must be dealt with. And it's urgent, because every day we live without Christ is one day closer to hell. Every breath taken without the Savior is one less breath with which to call on Him for salvation. Oh, it's an urgent thing. It's an important thing to escape for your life. I don't know where you stand before God tonight, but I do know this. There's a Savior who sends messengers to your life. It may be a preacher like this. It may be a person in your home or family, and you've been invited to escape for your life. But secondly, I would like you to notice where we must escape from. The Bible tells us, if we look at verse 17, it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. This is so important to think about. The Bible tells us here, if we're going to escape for our lives, there are some important things that we have to be aware of. First of all, we're not to look at certain things. Look not, verse 17, behind thee. I know many people who will not come to Christ because of something in their past. It may be something that they feel could never be forgiven, but I want you to be reminded that the greatest, deepest dye of sin can be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. But perhaps that's not your issue tonight. Maybe you're not so concerned about your sin not being able to be forgiven. Perhaps you're here tonight and you think, there's something that's happened in my past with a so-called Christian. And if that's really the way Christians are, I don't know if I want to have anything to do with this Christ. I don't know what's in your past, but I do know this. I know many people who allow whatever's happened to them in their past to keep them from coming to the Savior. to stop them from escaping for their lives. And I would implore you tonight, just as these heavenly messengers spoke to Lot and his family, do not look behind thee. Don't look back at your Sunday school days and say, well, I know facts about the gospel, and I know information, and I could quote Bible verses, and I know the hymns by heart. I don't even need a hymn book. My friend, it is not facts that you need. It's salvation that you need. Look not behind thee. Where are you headed? The Bible tells us here where not to stay. Verse 17, neither stay thou in all the plain. You see, what does the plain here tell us about these people? Do not stay where you are at. You see, many people, when they hear the gospel and they understand the truth of their sin, that they've broken God's law, in the sight of a holy God, they are criminals. They're not nice people, good people. They're wretched sinners, rebels against a holy God, the enemies of God. They've made themselves by birth and by choice. And yet for many of them, they say, well, I'll just stay right here where I'm at. I'm in church, aren't I? I'm wearing a suit and tie. I have a dress and a hat on. I bring my Bible. I sing the hymns. I'm here, aren't I? And I'll just stay right here. Perhaps something someday will happen. Perhaps I'll see a message in lights, or perhaps lightning will strike and I'll know that's for me. And I want to say, if you do nothing, if you stay where you're at, Jesus very kindly but very firmly spoke to people in the book of John, and he told them that without him, they would die in their sins. If they did nothing about their sin, if they did not trust in the gospel, if they did not believe on him, they would die in their sins. And I want to say to you tonight, if you do nothing, if you stay in the plain, if you stay comfortable where you're at, you'll die in your sins. Do not stay in the plain. Do not look behind you. I want you to notice quickly as well, who brings us this message, escape for thy life? The Bible tells us, if we notice back in verse 1 of chapter 19, and there came two angels to Sodom and Aven, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Those angels were sent from God from heaven. You say, I haven't seen any angels. It's always an interesting thing to me to notice that the word angel in the Bible is often translated as messenger. And I could say to you tonight, there have been many messengers, no doubt, sent your way. You have a messenger here every week. And others who aren't able to be here tonight, who faithfully preach the gospel, they're messengers with the message of God for you. Escape for thy life. Perhaps in your home there's a messenger. It may be a mother or a praying wife or even a child who's saved and knows you are not. I'm saying there are many messengers God has sent to you, and he sends them to you to give you this message. Escape for your life. And I'm thankful they didn't give up. Verse 16 tells us that they linger as Lot and his family lingered. They laid hold on his hand. Verse 17 tells us they brought them forth. I'm thankful for patient messengers who don't give up easily. I'm thankful for people. I know people who, as was mentioned tonight, an elderly man who trusted Christ. There's a man named George who comes to our church. He stopped by and he saw a Bible verse text on the outside that said, prepare to meet thy God. He said, I never really thought about God before. But I thought, what does that mean? A week later, some of our young people were knocking on the doors on a street, and he invited them in, and he said, oh, you're from that church with the Bible verse poster. He started to come to church. A year and a half he'd come, and he had many questions. What is there a God? What is salvation? We're thankful that he came to trust Christ as his Savior. 75 years old, God willing, this coming Sunday, is following the Lord in believer's baptism after coming to know the Lord for many months now and living for Christ. I'm saying to you, it's never too late. If there's breath in your lungs, if there's life in your body, I'm thankful there's a Savior who's willing to accept those who come to him by faith. And I'm thankful for messengers who don't give up. But lastly, I'd like you to notice this very important point. Escape for thy life. But many people say, where am I to escape to? I've tried to escape to other places. I've tried to get away from this sin. I've tried to turn over a new leaf, start a new chapter in life, and none of it's worked. I'm thankful this Old Testament text points us to Calvary. I'm thankful that here in this tragic story of Lot and his family, there's hope for you. Would you notice with me what the Bible tells us in verse 17? Our text, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. That's where we shouldn't look. Neither stay thou in all the plain. That's where we shouldn't stay. But the Bible goes on, and I'm thankful for this. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And I'm so thankful tonight that there's a mountain made available for us to escape to. There's a place where sinners like you and I, who desperately need God's mercy, can escape to, and it's a mountain called Calvary. It's a place where the Lord Jesus Christ, the only sinless one to ever walk this earth, the spotless Lamb of God, came. He willingly opened his hands and lay on the cross and was nailed to that old rugged cross for my sin. He was beaten and bruised. He was spit upon and mocked. A crown of thorns was cruelly beaten down on his brow. And he hung on the tree, not for his sin, for he had none, but for my sin. And for the sin of people just like you, he died for me. On the Mount Calvary, Jesus Christ bore all of the wrath of God that rightly belonged to me. Every injustice that I had done to God, every wrong thing that I had incurred God's wrath for, Jesus Christ took my place on the cross, bearing in his body the wrath of God, shedding his life's blood so that my sin could be covered and your sin tonight could be covered and washed away, and you could be made clean and new, forgiven, healed, ransomed, redeemed. That's the Savior. That's the mountain to escape to. That's the place where you and I, wretched sinners, rebels against God, must see our plight, must see that we are in danger, not someday just of God's wrath, but even now we are abiding under the wrath of God. We are under His guilt and His wrath right now, and we must escape to the mountain. My friend, I'm thankful to say to you, on that Mount Calvary, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners like you, like me, who are plunged beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Tonight, there are people, no doubt, in a crowd this size who are lost without hope and without Christ. The Bible tells us that you are blind. That's why you don't see how urgent it is to escape for your life. The Bible tells us that you're sick. You don't see how ill you are. The Bible describes the lost sinner as hopeless, as without God. And tonight, may the Holy Ghost of God come and do a work of conviction in your heart and show you how very desperately you need to escape for thy life. If you were to stand in front of the two large buildings in New York City, the largest in North America, on September the 10th, 2011, and you were to speak to people that day and hand out leaflets and say, tomorrow, September 11th, 2001, these two buildings will fall, and everyone who's inside will be tragically killed. What would people have said to you? They would have laughed. They would have looked at these buildings and said, these will never fall. They're impregnable. They can't. Nothing could have. That's been attempted in the past and it failed. But yet you'd be right. And everyone who received that leaflet couldn't say they hadn't been warned. What if you could have done that? What a difference it would have made, perhaps you'd say. But I know there are people here tonight who are in just as great of peril. But even more desperately urgent than that is this: we aren't given a date for when you will meet God. We don't know when your last breath will come, when your last heartbeat will tick away. We don't know that, and you don't either. Prepare to meet thy God. Escape for thy life. Escape to the mountain. I'm thankful there's a Savior who welcomes sinners to that Mount Calvary, who welcomes them to the cleansing flood, and who cleanses all who come to Him by faith. And they can say, with sinners like me, I'm thankful God worked in my life and showed me the urgency. Escape for thy life.